01419511025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Daniel Kelly is left out of Celtic's pre-season squad after failing to agree a new deal. Philip Clement says new signings Hamza Igamani and Clinton Insiala aren't ready to start for the club, and competitive action returns tomorrow with the Premier Sports Cup. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Hugh Keevans.
You must be, if you're an Old Firm fan, wondering what's going on, really. Philip Clement admitting that two of his pre-season signings are nowhere near being first team choices for him, and the season is only 3 weeks away. Meanwhile, Celtic have already lost Rocco Vatta to Watford, and now Daniel Kelly says no to a new contract, joining a stream of young players who have disappointed Celtic, who have given them the academy training and then don't get them in the end. So it bursts the myth that people play for nothing for Celtic or Rangers.
And all this build-up that we've had to the new season, it starts tomorrow. Looking forward to it, Hugh?
Well, I'm looking forward to it very much. And to Sunday, there's a match going on in Berlin that will attract everyone's attention. I watched the semi-final with my grandchildren during the week, and quite exciting it was too.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be lots of discussion on the likes of Daniel Kelly, the likes of Clinton Insiala, Hamza Igamani as well. The big story yesterday was Rangers confirming that they will be playing games at Hampden from the start of the season instead of Ibrox. I'm sure there will be plenty of discussion in that as well, because we got a good few calls on it last night. That's not the type of thing that goes away after just one night. What did you make of the confirmation, Hugh?
I loved the caller from Fife who wanted the games moved to Edinburgh because it was nearer to Fife, overlooking the fact that there are probably more people who come over from Ireland to watch Rangers play than go there from Fife. Also the story of Matt O'Reilly, the Atalanta bid, nowhere near Celtic's evaluation of the player. I think that they will possibly have to double the bid if they want to get O'Reilly from Celtic.
Well, let's hear from you. 01419511025 on the phones. We want to hear from you whether it is the fact that Daniel Kelly has been dropped by Celtic for their pre-season training camp, Brendan Rodgers confirming it after the player failed to agree a new deal with his deal up at the end of December. Rangers fans, maybe you're interested in the fact that Philip Clement has said two of your new signings are not ready to start for the club yet, Hamza Igamani and Clinton Insiala. We can get into that as well. Maybe you are a fan of a club that's back in action this weekend. You're looking forward to the start of the competitive stuff tomorrow. Give us a call, 0141 951 1025, or any calls, of course, on the story we brought you yesterday with Rangers playing at Hampden for, well, the foreseeable future at the moment, because there is no date yet, Hugh, of when Rangers will be moving back to Ibrox.
If you're a Rangers fan, it's a highly unsatisfactory business. If you're a season ticket holder, you are surely due some form of compensation. You're not getting what you bought. So there are many problems ahead relative to this move. I don't think in football terms, Andrew, it's a disaster or anything like it. I think Rangers playing in front of 50,000 people at Hampden against Motherwell and Ross County could hardly be described as a disadvantage. I listened to Kenny Miller the other night talking about the European ties that Rangers have to play, and that Ibrox on European nights is a cauldron. I buy that argument, but they'll simply have to recreate the cauldron as best they can at Hampden.
0141 951 1025 if you've got thoughts on any of these topics. There is a game on the go at the moment. Scotland's women are in action in their Nations League clash away to Slovakia. Just 4 minutes into that game, it was the 6 o'clock kickoff, 0-0 in that match at the moment. And remember to keep listening, because throughout the whole of the Euros, we've been playing the pundit predictor with Col Robert, and we guarantee that over this weekend, we will be giving away £1,000 to one of you at home. So make sure to listen in. You can get involved tonight and you could be the lucky winner of £1,000. But that's to come a bit later. 0141 951 1025 on the phones before that. Let's get stuck into this Daniel Kelly story, shall we? This is sort of news today that Brendan Rodgers has said that Daniel Kelly will not be part of their preseason squad. We saw that he didn't play or didn't feature at all on the bench in the game against Queen's Park a couple of nights ago. We didn't know whether it was injury, whether it was something else, but Brendan Rodgers has confirmed that he is not going to be a part of the squad. Will that concern Celtic fans, just given what's happened with Rocco Vatta this summer as well?
And previous players who have gone to the Bundesliga. At least two went to Bundesliga teams. I take Brendan Rodgers at face value when he says that Daniel Kelly has been made an exceptional offer. He knows the offer, and that is his honest opinion of the money that's been offered to Daniel. Now, it's the player's prerogative. You can take it or leave it. He decided to leave it. Therefore, I think Brendan Rodgers is correct to say, oh, well, you won't be coming to America with the team, because if you don't want to play for Celtic, then why would I take you on the pre-season tour?
01419511025, Celtic fans, maybe you've got some thoughts on these quotes from Brendan Rodgers. He says there's no impasse. Daniel, like Rocco Vatta before him, has been offered a deal. With the greatest respect, I've worked with young players and I know the levels of young players and where they're at from a technical perspective and a financial perspective. Rocco was offered a contract and he was going to be one of the three strikers at Celtic, but he decided that wasn't going to be for him, so he left. That's absolutely fine. We wish him all the best. Similarly, Daniel, as a young player, has been offered a really good contract by the club. He goes on to say it's a contract that would see him come into the first team squad and play and perform and develop, because he has a lot of development to do. I spoke with agents and the player some months back to say, listen, if we can't tidy this up by summer, then it's very hard with him to be in the team in pre-season. It's as simple as that. It is possibly the latest example of maybe young players thinking the grass is greener elsewhere. Oh. Certainly the money is a lot bigger elsewhere in some parts of, well, you look at England, you look at other, you know, teams in Europe. I think Bayer Leverkusen have been linked with Daniel Kelly.
But it's similar to the Billy Gilmour situation of some years ago, where Billy Gilmour thinks, well, I'm not going to get into this first team here. I'm going to go and further my career.
I think they're maybe slightly different, because Billy Gilmour hadn't signed a professional contract with Rangers at all yet. He was only 15, turning 16. That was going to be his first professional contract. Whereas Daniel Kelly has been in about the Celtic squad. I think it was 5 appearances in total he made last season. So he is a bit older. Yeah. He has, you know, been in and about the Celtic squad. But it's whether he doesn't feel as if he's making the progress or getting the games that he wants, or he feels he can get a better offer elsewhere.
I assume that Rocco Vatta decided that Watford would be the stepping stone to the English Premier League. I also assume that Daniel Kelly has ambitions which are beyond Celtic, and so he decided not to accept the offer. That's the gamble that he has taken. He has to see who will come in for him when his contract does expire. But I can sense Brendan Rodgers' frustration with the way these things are going, because Celtic have an academy for a reason, and they have appointed Darren O'Dea as the professional pathway manager for a reason. And right now, the young men are not responding by giving Celtic the support that Celtic have been giving them.
01419511025 is the number you need. It's the number Gordon, a Celtic fan in Irvine, has dialed. Gordon, first of all, this story about Daniel Kelly, is that a concern that you could be losing another youth academy product?
Well, it beggars the question, what chance have we got of buying ready-made products when we can't hold on to our academy products? This whole system only works. We buy Matt O'Reilly, low ball, sell him high ball, Kieran Tierney, brought him through, sell him high, but there's nothing coming through. And the ones that were prospects, promising players, seem not to want to be at Celtic.
Well, therefore, in the first instance, though, Gordon, they are coming through. Rocco Vatta was brought through. Daniel Kelly has been brought through. Played against.
That's two of a big, big list, though, Hugh, to be fair. So you've got the peril amongst many, obviously, and they place great hope on them. But why would they not then? Are they having whispers in their ear? Are they see the SPL for what it truly is? Or is it just down to money?
Young people are different. You know, as I say, I must take Brendan Rodgers at face value. He says that Daniel Kelly was offered a very, very good contract. But young people today are different. Celtic and Rangers don't matter to them. The jersey doesn't matter anymore.
It will matter to some.
To some, yeah.
There'll be varying degrees of how much it matters to others.
It clearly mattered to Kieran Tierney. And when Kieran left, he had achieved a great deal with Celtic, and the financial offer was staggering from the club's point of view. But
I think you have to take your hat off to Mikey Johnson, who, for all his disparaging remarks against him, he keeps coming back, and I think he truly wants to have a go at Celtic. Whether Celtic have given up on Mikey Johnston, again, there you've got James, who's been there thick and thin, decried the majority of his career by a certain section of the crowd, and he's one of the greatest Celtic players ever. But, I mean, who can you see coming through now?
I also think the thing is, you know, Gordon saying, well, who's coming through if Daniel Kelly leaves and Rocco Vatta leaves? It's kind of the way that youth academies work at teams. Not every single player from every single youth team is going to make it. Generally, when you look at it, if one or two players from a certain age group make it and make first team appearances and make an impact in a first team, that is a success for the youth system, because there aren't that many that come through and are brilliant. So those are the players that are coming through, and every single young player will have different circumstances. Yeah. I think the concerning thing would be that if it is the same summer, that two separate young players might have different circumstances, but if Celtic then go on to lose both of them, that's when you maybe think, well, is there a problem, or is it just two isolated cases that haven't worked out in Celtic's favour?
The two games that Celtic have played so far, Ayr United, Queen's Park, have brought two teams and two benches that contained a whole lot of names I'd never heard of. I had never heard, with the greatest respect, I'd never heard of Francis Turley until he scored midweek. Kyogo scored three goals. For me, the important thing was that Francis Turley scored one, because here you have another young man who will one day be tested in the way that Rocco Vatta and Daniel Kelly have been tested, and they decided to turn their back on Celtic. But we'll see how this young man feels about it, because, as you say, it's not a trend. There are those who will buck the trend and say, yeah, I've always wanted to play for Celtic and this is my dream come true.
It could also come down to a difference of opinion between the players and whoever represents the players and Brendan Rodgers, because I remember being in a press conference earlier on this season when Brendan Rodgers was asked specifically about the Rocco Vatta situation, and he said, I don't need players that are ready for the first team age 17 or 18. I need players that are ready for the first team at the age of 21. Yeah. And that might be the type of thing that would turn young players away and say, well, you know, I might be 16, 17, 18, and I feel I'm ready to get first team appearances. If your manager then says, well, I don't really need players that are ready at that age, I want them to be ready at 21 and ready to come in. Yeah. There's a possibility that players might think, well, maybe at the age of 18, I'm ready to go and play first team football, and I'm maybe not going to get the opportunity, may get the opportunity elsewhere.
Well, we live in an age when there's a young Spaniard who will turn 17 years of age tomorrow.
I do think Lamine Yamal is, I've seen this comparison and people saying, oh, if he was Scottish, you know, he would have got dropped because he was too small or whatever. This guy is going to be one of the best players the world has ever seen if he's on this trajectory. So I think it's pretty hard to compare Lamine Yamal to any other player in world football about him getting an opportunity earlier than anyone else.
But the point I'm making is that young men today, Rocco Vatta, Daniel Kelly, whoever, will think, well, if he can be in the Spanish team, then why can't I be in the team? I understand Brendan Rodgers' take on it. He's looking for men, if I can use that expression, rather than boys. But at the moment, I think he'll be feeling pretty frustrated with it all. And, of course, on top of all of that, not a signing yet.
Yeah, is that something you are concerned about, Gordon? Or are you quite relaxed about the transfer situation this summer?
No, I think any Celtic supporter that says they were relaxed would be lying. Everybody knew the European Championships were coming up. They're saying that they have to wait till they're over before negotiations on targets, potential targets that they're wanting to make, can be made. What was to stop them making them before the European Championships? But they knew the length of the project, projected players, contract, you know. You see this about the young Spanish boy, but I remember going back, Ian Jess was ridiculed for why he was, at that time, he was one of the best Scottish midfield players of that era, and he was like, no, he's too small. But if you're young enough, if you're good enough, you're young enough, it doesn't matter. So, you know, it's I get away from the whole point. Celtic players, the policy at the moment isn't working. Brendan Rodgers says he wants players at 21 that are first team ready. Lagerbielka obviously isn't.
But that's a different matter. That's bad judgment. Celtic's judgment in the transfer market over the last two windows has been appalling. You know, there has been, of course, Matt O'Reilly, a success story. But by and large, there's a build-up of deadwood, and Brendan Rodgers has to sweep it away.
Yeah. Do you think there are going to need to be a lot of outgoings? There's been a lot of talk about incomings at Celtic, the lack of incomings with Celtic away on their US tour on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think it is Brendan Rodgers, as it stands, won't have any new signings on that plane to go there. But is there likely to be quite a few players on that plane that won't be there at the start of the season?
Well, they'll be on the plane because others are like Alistair Johnson, whose Copa America has just finished and he'll need time to prepare. Callum McGregor.
I think they've still got a third place playoff that's to be played Saturday into Sunday, and it's likely, I think, Celtic quite like to give players 3 weeks off
but
in the summer.
At the moment, it's a bit of a confused picture. There are too many who won't ever be Celtic first team regulars, and there are not enough coming in the door at a time when, in fact, I say not enough coming in, no one has come in the door at a time when Celtic have more money than every team in the SPFL put together.
Gordon, what's the priority? Is it goalkeeper? Is it as simple as that?
Well, you've got to start somewhere, I would imagine. I can't believe that he played Sigurðs last night for a start, who's been living with an influencer in the Southern Hemisphere for the best part of 6 months. Obviously, got no future. It doesn't placate any Celtic.
I will say, I have no idea where Benjamin Sigurðs has been living for the past 6 months. He's certainly been in Celtic squads. I've seen him warm up. He's not been on the bench, but I've seen him warm up.
It's straightforward.
And I don't think it matters who he's going out with either. But
his Celtic career was over 2 years ago. Ange Postecoglou couldn't put him in the team and wouldn't put him in the team. So he is just hanging about the place. Scott Bain, with the best will in the world, is a journeyman goalkeeper who is never Celtic's first choice. And the fact that Joe Hart announced his retirement in January, and here we are, half a year on, and Celtic have not got themselves a goalkeeper, peculiar.
Well, thank you to Gordon. We'll take more calls after the break. Rangers fans, I'm interested to hear what you think of Philip Clement's comments saying that Hamza Igamani and Clinton Nsiala, two new signings, aren't ready to start for the club. 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans in the studio with me, Andrew McLean, and it's Clyde One Super Scoreboard brought to you by UK Debt Expert. And the time it takes to play a match, 145 people will have asked them for help with their finances. Their free debt advice has helped over 250,000 people and counting. So if you're struggling with debt you can't control, talk to UK Debt Expert. There is a solution for you. Check out UKDebtExpert.co.uk. As I mentioned earlier, there is a game on the go at the moment. Scotland's women are away to Slovakia in the Nations League. They're unbeaten in that group at the moment, three wins and a draw, 0-0 against Slovakia at the moment. If they manage to get a win tonight, we'll put them in a very good position to finish top of that Nations League group. So we will keep you updated on how that goes. But a story I wanted to look at today as well, some quotes from Philip Clement coming from his pre-season training camp, Rangers pre-season training camp over in the Netherlands. He's been talking about two of his new signings, Clinton Nsiala and Hamza Igamani. He's saying, we have some players who have come in who are longer term, like Clinton Nsiala. He has a lot of talent, but he needs the experience and he needs to learn a lot of things. I don't expect him to be a starting player. The same with Hamza Igamani. He'll not be ready to start. He's never trained or played physically at that level. He comes out of a holiday too, so we need to build him up. I think people knew that in the early stages of this transfer window, Philip Clement had said it, that a lot of the players that were coming in were maybe younger players that were going to build into the squad. The experience would come. But would that be a worry for Rangers fans that two of the players that have been brought in already, Philip Clement has said they're not quite at the level, whether it's, you know, physically or whatever, to to go in and start games.
I think the Rangers fans see things in clear and distinct terms. They thought they were about to win the league last season, and then the team collapsed. Celtic, on the final day of the season, then beat them in the Scottish Cup final to secure a league and cup double. The Rangers fans want the league back, and they are not going to get it with players who have never trained at this level before. I think Philippe Clement was very honest in what he said, but I don't think it's what the Rangers fans want to hear.
Because people will make a judgment now on the signings Rangers have made, but I suppose it'll be more interesting to see come the end of the transfer window whether Rangers have managed to get those experienced players in that Philippe Clement has talked about, and players like Hamza Igamani and Clinton Nsiala aren't relied upon too much because Rangers have made the signings they want to make. Or there's the flip side where Rangers don't quite get the quality they wanted in, and they're maybe having to rely more on players like Clinton Nsiala and Hamza Igamani, who Philippe Clement has said aren't ready to start games for them.
This city is the world capital of the bragging rights. Celtic and Rangers are tied on 118 trophies each, historically. And if Celtic were to move ahead of Rangers by the end of the season to come, then there would be much unhappiness among the Rangers supporters. They don't want to hear about people who have never trained at this level. Their response to that will be, well, why did you buy them then? They want the oven ready for the 3rd of August. They want to win and go 3 points ahead of Celtic, who don't play until the following day. And we'll be back to the situation we had last season, where it's tit for tat all the way through. And right now, when you look at Celtic and Rangers, I would say that both sets of supporters are entitled to be a little perplexed by what's going on.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Graham is a Rangers fan in Paisley. What do you make of it, Graham?
Hi, guys. Thanks for letting me through. I've just been listening to this for the past couple of weeks. I'm a Rangers fan, first and foremost. And we're coming on complaining about the type of players that we're bringing in, etc. And we're all holding off on marquee players to come in and hit the ground running. It's not going to happen. There's no finances in place. These are the times we live in. This is the way it's got to be going forward for Rangers fans. It's not going to change. As we was hearing Celtic fans and stuff going in as well, and they're concerned about not bringing in any signings, possibly losing Matt O'Reilly, etc. Celtic have still got more than enough in the locker to deal with Rangers. They're not going to go out there and spend 15, 20 million on players to try and win the Champions League, because that's never going to happen. So what Celtic have got is more than a match for what Rangers have got. This is the way it's always going to be. Rangers might nick the odd league title here and there, but as for the players that we're getting in, this is the type of players that we're always going to be getting in, because the finances are never going to be in place.
Philippe Clement has said, Graham, that experienced players will follow. That is the plan for the rest of the transfer window. He said that these sort of younger project players are the easier type of players to bring through the door, and the experienced ones take a bit longer. Do you not see that coming over the next few weeks?
I mean, surely it should be the other way around. If he's bringing in experienced players to hit the ground running, they should be first through the door to get up to speed with the way the Rangers are playing.
But Philippe Clement's point was that there's maybe more competition for these players. They're in trickier situations because maybe their club wants to keep a hold of them. Maybe they've got more, you know, clubs wanting to sign them, whereas these younger players are ones that they've scouted that are maybe from, you know, markets that aren't as popular.
But there is an imbalance because so much experience went out the door. There's now an imbalance. And, you know, Graham's concerns will be shared by tens of thousands of Rangers supporters, because they want, there's so much uncertainty, for example, about Dessers. Will he still be there? For all that the crowd are sometimes mystified by him, he scored a few goals. Is he staying or what? Is Todd Cantwell staying or what? And on we go. Right now, you look at the Rangers squad and you think it's not ready for the start of the new season. So if there are concerns about how much money Rangers have, then where's the money coming from for these oven-ready players that Philippe Clement wants to bring in?
On top of the transfer business we've talked about, Graham, Hugh mentioned it there. There are a lot of question marks about quite a lot of the Rangers players that are in the squad at the moment. Potential interest in Cyril Dessers. There's been a lot of talk about James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Todd Cantwell. How do you see those situations? You know, if that, those are more experienced players that could potentially leave before the experienced players are brought in, if that's what Philip Clement is managing to do.
Yeah, do you know what? It's, when you look at the players that's been injured from last season, and then you look at the players that he's bringing in, so you've got Jeff Day coming in at the left back, you've got Danilo coming back for injury. I don't mean to be rude, but these boys would be better on TikTok than they would on a football field. They'll not cut it for Rangers. I've watched a lot of videos on Jeff Day, and I've watched a lot of videos on these young guys coming through. These young guys have been playing for 400-500 people per week. They're not cut out for the Scottish game. It's just ridiculous with the type of player that we're bringing in.
I mean, Danilo has played at a high level previously. I think him and Jeff Day are very different. Jeff Day was obviously playing in Cyprus. Danilo has played, you know, in bigger leagues. He's played in, you know, he's scored goals at a decent level as well. Do you not have any hope for him? No?
No hope at all. I mean, last season, yeah, when he was playing, he was getting runs in the game, he was scoring goals, but nothing like, you know, what he should have been scoring. So this season, he's not going to make an impact. That's fact. He's not going to make an impact in the squad. If Dessers goes, the way Dessers has to play this season, as Dessers has been the main man, he's had to hold that line. Yeah, fair enough, he scored 22 goals or whatever. But if Dessers goes, they've got to be looking at the likes of Danilo to come in and take his place. He's not fit for that squad. He's not a Scottish type of player. He won't hold that line up the way Dessers done last season. And we've got nobody to come in behind them. So we're bringing players in. It's not ready to,
you know, Hearts,
ready at game.
As you know, Graham, Hearts away, first day of the season. You're talking about players who are equipped for the Scottish game, others who will be taken aback by the Scottish game. Outside of Celtic Park, I think Tynecastle on day one is the hardest thing Rangers could have got. So we'll know on August the 3rd which way the wind's blowing.
It's also so hard to tell, isn't it, when players come in initially. There are players that have come to the Scottish Premiership that have been complete unknowns, that have been absolutely fantastic. There have been players that have come in with big reputations that have failed in the Scottish Premiership. You know, Graham's saying he's watched a lot of videos on players. It's quite easy to watch videos on players and try and pass judgments, but it is quite hard to tell just how players are going to get on.
I give you Matt O'Reilly, 1.5 million from the MK Dons, because another player wouldn't join Celtic. People are saying, well, who's Matt O'Reilly? Well, they know now who Matt O'Reilly is. So yes, it's possible to have someone from out of left field and they become essential to the team. But I'm just a little concerned that Philippe Clement has named two players, come out and named them and said, in other words, nowhere near ready.
Have you just got no confidence going into this season at all then, Graham?
No, 100%. Not a single bit of confidence. When you touch on the Hearts squad and you look at the signings that Hearts have made this season, my bet is, I think Rangers will still finish second, but it'll be very, very close between Rangers and Hearts, and I think a lot of Rangers fans are on the same sort of faith, but don't want to admit that. But I just think that the way we are just now with Scottish football, with finances, etc. You touched on there, Matt O'Reilly, 1.5 million. Nobody knew who he was. Now he's possibly, you know, worth 25, 35 million pounds. When was the last time Rangers brought in a player like that and Celtic sold him on?
Calvin Bassey.
Apart from like Calvin Bassey, Nathan Patterson. But this is the world we live in. This is where Rangers are. We're not going to go any further. Every time we seem to take a step up, Celtic will take a step up, and it'll always be like this. That's the way it's always going to be. Finances at Rangers won't change. Nobody's got to come in and invest in Scottish football because there's no money to be made on it.
Does it just come down to finances, Graham? You know, Philip Clement, this is his first summer transfer window from what you saw of him, you know, since he came in October, November time through to the end of the season. Do you not have confidence that he can win Rangers more trophies than the one he's got so far?
No, I don't. I've got not any confidence in him whatsoever. Not just going by last season. But last season's record wasn't that great. If you actually look at facts and stats, it was not that great at all. And to be in the position that they were, with the squad that they had, that done fairly decent the season prior to that, they had it in their hands. That they sort of professional football players should have pushed that team over the line. But all you were seeing was people on TikTok, people doing this, people doing that. They've been in a Scottish Premiership title challenge. and they were more interested in making videos online.
But can people not go on social media and also train and also play football at the same time?
Of course, I'm not saying that they can't go on social media and stuff, but when they're posting videos laughing and joking and all the rest of it, when they've pulled the gap back, when Celtic have pulled the gap back on Rangers, that's not giving a very professional, you know, persona across to the Rangers fans to give them confidence.
I have to agree with you. You know, and I know that I come from another era, another time altogether.
Not on TikTok, you? No.
No. TikTok to me means a clock. But, you know, I know that I came into this business when Jock Stein was the Celtic manager and Willie Waddle was the Rangers manager. And, you know, I'm not saying bring back the days of players had to wear a collar and tie to go to training, but it is a distraction. Cantwell is far too taken up with distractions. And could be doing with focusing more on the football and understand Graham's frustration.
I just do wonder how much, because players train and generally professional footballers will go home at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's just how full-time players work. There's a lot of free time that footballers have to go on social media when they're not training. That can't be the biggest issue, surely.
No, of course not. What they do on the park is the biggest issue. But one or two Rangers players at a time when the season was reaching its climax, they were just weren't giving the impression that their minds were totally focused.
Well, thank you to Graham, and now it's time for you to get involved, because for the final time we are going to be playing the Pundit Predictor with Col Robber. All summer we've been asking you to predict the winner of three games at Euro 2024, but no one could manage it. Then the other night we asked you to predict two games, two semi-finals. No one could manage that either. So tonight, you're playing for £1,000, and all you have to do is predict the result of the Euro 2024 final between Spain and England. So give us a call on 0141 951 1025. What we're going to do to guarantee that the £1,000 will be given away across the weekend is we're going to take three callers. We need someone that's going to predict a Spain win. We're going to need someone that's predicting an England win, even if that is quite tough for you. And we're going to need someone that's going to think it's going to be a draw at the 90-minute mark, and it's going to go to extra time. Those are your three options for the final on Sunday, and we'll get your reasons why as well. And, of course, we'll get Hugh Keevans to predict as well. So if you predict the same as him, it's probably not going to be good news for you. But call us right now, and you could be playing for £1,000 on the Pundit Predictor with Col Robert. And while you get your calls in, let me tell you about this. Clyde One. Franklin won Make Me A Winner last time out while his wife was at the dentist. He's now £150,000 better off, and we could make you a winner of £160,000 on Monday when we make another call, but you need to be in the draw. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Enter at Clyde1.com. Online entries are £2, or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this rail network competition are online. If you get a call from us after 3 o'clock on Monday, answer within 5 rings, say make me a winner straight away, and you will win £160,000 paid into your bank account straight after the call as well. So text YES to 61025 for your chance to win.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans in the studio with me, Andrew McLean. Scotland's women are drawing 0-0 at the moment with Slovakia away from home in their Nations League clash. They've unbeaten so far in their Nations League group. 3 wins and a draw from 4 games. Drawing this one against Slovakia, a win would see them with a good opportunity to finish top of that group. So we'll see how that pans out over the next 45 minutes or so. But I'm sure plenty of you out there will be interested in this, because now it is the time, the final time, that we are going to play the Pundit Predictor with Col Robert. It's your chance to win £1,000. And as I say, it's all thanks to Col Robert. All you have to do is predict the result of Sunday's Euro 2024 final. The lines are now closed. We've got three callers on the line, and we're going to get their predictions for the game. Whatever happens, one of the three will be winning £1,000 come the end of the 90 minutes on Sunday. What a way to watch the game as well.
Oh, Fabulous.
I say it might be a good way to watch the game, but also might be a terrible way to watch the game and thinking that actually, you know what, I'm now not going to win the money I thought I was going to win. But you know what? Someone is going to win it. So that's good.
Yeah. Adds to the excitement.
Does add to the excitement. Right, let's go to Mark in East Kilbride first of all. Mark, how are you?
I'm good, Andrew. How are you?
Not too bad at all. I think there's a chance you might be feeling a bit better on Sunday night, but it just depends on how the result goes. So I'm going to ask you, who is going to win on Sunday? And remember, it's at 90 minutes we're doing it, because there's three options. It can be a Spain win at 90 minutes, an England win at 90 minutes, or a draw at 90 minutes.
Well, I think I speak for all of Scotland by predicting Spain are going to beat England.
I thought that might happen. Why do you think it's going to be Spain?
Best team in the tournament, and England haven't looked too decent all tournament, so surely someone's got to come up and beat them.
Yeah, I mean, they have been the most entertaining side, haven't they, Hugh? You look at the youth on the wings of Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams. Rodri's been excellent as well. Fabian Ruiz in midfield. They've just been the most entertaining side.
I think logic would point towards Spain. History would point towards Spain. They can be have the highest number of wins in the European Championship finals if they beat England. The only problem is, Mark said England haven't been too decent. I wish we couldn't be too decent and make a final.
Yeah, that is the thing, that they haven't been too decent but have still been getting through, whether it's been last minute goals, whether it's been penalties. They're still doing it, but you never know. We will see. Right, Mark has gone for Spain. We're now going to speak to Chris, who's in Castlemilk. Chris, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, guys. I'm good. Thanks for calling. Let me through.
No worries at all. Big game on Sunday. How do you think it's going to go at the 90-minute mark?
I think it's going to be a really nervy affair, so I'm going to go for the draw.
Yeah, I think I can see that as well. I can see a Spain win because they've been very good. I can see a draw too, because England, all their games have been really tight. As Chris says, they've been nervy. You could see this one going to extra time as well, Hugh.
I think the fact that they have lived on their nerves and survived to tell every tale would be a good thing from England's perspective, and a thing to make the Spanish team cautious.
I think you'll probably be, if you're watching in a pub or something like that on Sunday, Chris, you might be the only man that's cheering wildly at the 90-minute mark if it goes to extra time and it's a draw. But what do you think is going to happen after that?
I think you could be right there. I think you've just talked me out going to the pub and watching it.
That would be a strange experience, just the only man chucking a pint in the air of whatever he's drinking.
Well, I think now that Chris is on the radio, he's just advertised the fact that if it's 0-0 and a man cheers, it's Chris, and he's won himself £1,000.
Oh yeah, there'll be a lot of people asking you for a drink. But there we go. Thank you very much to Chris. Chris has gone for a draw at 90 minutes. We have Sandra in Denniston up next. Sandra, I don't think there's going to be a huge surprise who you're going to go for, but tell us.
It's a mixed feeling. Not really fussed about them if they don't, but I would like to see them win because I've got them in the worst sweepstake.
Oh, there we go. It could be a double win for Sandra. That's quite a way to do it. The thing is, if you're being forced to back England and you don't want to back England, Sandra may as well double down and try and win twice.
Listen, money has no allegiance. So it doesn't matter whether you're unhappy at the final result. You've got the money, therefore you're unhappy and extremely happy at the same time.
I was going to say, is it a win-win for you, Sandra? Because if Spain win, then Spain have won and England have lost. Or if England win, then you get the money. Or will you be secretly cheering on an England win just because you've got them in the sweepstake and in the pundit predictor?
Oh, if I win on this, it's two, I'll be going on holiday.
There we go. So I also don't think Sandra will be watching in the pub as well. Certain pubs anyway, because I don't think cheering for England winning will go down too well in certain places. But you know what? Sandra has a chance as well to win twice. So there we go. We have had Mark, who's gone for a Spain win. We've got Chris, who has gone for a draw at 90 minutes. And Sandra has gone for an England win. But we are going to disadvantage one of the three of you here, because Hugh Keevans is going to give us his prediction. And you know what happens when Hugh Keevans gives a prediction. It means there's a good chance it's probably not going to happen.
Well, I think, having said that England, while being not too decent, have made it to the final, I I sense fate in the air.
Yeah.
And although Spain, on paper, logic, reason, everything points to a Spain win, I think England will win it.
I think there's a lot of people out there across Scotland that have just cheered because they've heard Hugh Keevans predict that England are going to win the Euros, which means there's a very good chance they might not now. But can, do you just think they seem to have something about them, just that bit of luck that's getting them through? Is that going to extend to Sunday?
What a story they have to tell, particularly the manager. They're throwing beer at him. They're booing the team in every game they play. And hypocrites to a man and woman, they're all still there in Germany because of the manager and his players. So what a story on a personal level it would be for Gareth Southgate. And I just think that, yes, they have lived on the nerves, but not only do they get there in the end, they get there in the end with goals the likes of Jude Bellingham's bicycle kick. They get there with Ollie Watkins' wonderful one touch and bang, bottom of the goal. So they live on their nerves and then finish like a dream.
Well, good luck to Mark, Chris and Sandra. One of you will be winning £1,000 thanks to Call Robert this weekend. Of course, there is big games tomorrow in Scotland. The competitive action returns. There will be some teams looking forward to the action. I think there'll be some teams as well that will be disappointed they are at this stage in the Premier Sports Cup because they'd rather be playing European football, and that is their ambitions. The likes of Aberdeen, the likes of Hibs as well that I'm looking at. But certainly, this is where supporters, there'll be a real excitement because you'll get to see your team again in competitive action. You'll get to see the new signings that are going to be out on the pitch.
Well, I'm thinking of one flat in North Lanarkshire in particular where he's probably had his Friday night bath and now he's put on...
Oh, is it a Friday night now? Used to be a Wednesday.
Well, he's a versatile guy. And now he's putting on his Motherwell gym jams.
Yeah.
And he's all excited and he's set the alarm for 7 o'clock tomorrow morning so that he can go round to Fir Park and have a look at everything. He's going to bed now, the Dazzler, thinking, Motherwell and Edinburgh City, this is the one for me.
This is where supporters will make snap judgments as well. Straight away, whatever happens in tomorrow's game, supporters will be saying, brilliant, this season is going to be the season for us, we're going to be excellent. This new signing we've got that scored is going to be the best player in the league. Or there's the flip side of it, where you maybe don't get a result against a team in a division below you and the whole thing's a disaster and the season's written off already.
I love snap judgments. I live by snap judgments. I will never, ever forget the League Cup final when Hibs took the lead. And as I was waxing lyrical after that goal and saying that on the basis of what we've seen so far in this game, this might be the only goal of the final. And before I got final out, Kyogo would equalise at the other end. So I love snap judgments.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to those games tomorrow. Just looking at Aberdeen there, some interesting stories coming out of Aberdeen today. The first one, Duke, he's not in the squad at all. Jimmy Tilleen, the new manager, saying internal issues with Duke mean he won't be in the squad. And then also, Bojan Miovski, apparently the interest of Bologna, they've sold Joshua Zirkzee to Manchester United in the process of that, apparently looking at Bojan Miovski. So two of the guys, Duke, not as good last season as he was the season before. Bojan Miovski has been Aberdeen's best player for a couple of seasons now. Yeah. Aberdeen fans will want to know what's happening with those two players.
Jimmy Tilleen looks to me like the kind of guy that doesn't do nonsense. And I suspect that Duke has got involved in some kind of nonsense. And Jimmy Tilleen's not having it. Bojan Miovski deserves to get a big move. And if that is to Bologna and to Serie A, then why would you turn it down?
Lots of competitive action in the Premier Sports Cup group to come tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Of course, we'll find out the results of the Pundit Predictor to see who's won £1,000 with Call Robert. And I'll be back again on Monday night to do it all over again for another week in Scottish football. It'll be Gordon DL in the studio with me. Remember, you can listen back wherever you get your podcasts. Search Clyde One SSB on the likes of YouTube, Facebook, to watch back on the live stream as well. And make sure to stick around because it is the GBX that's up next.